Welcome everyone, we're about to begin Be'ezus Hashem, HSP Shir number 12, highly sensitive person, Shir number 12. We're going to talk today about how to understand this trait and all that it's about. Elaine Aaron wrote her chapter 2 called Digging Deeper. We're going to go into that a little bit. And then we're going to go into general health and lifestyles for HSPs. So she had an interesting experience. When she began to study high sensitivity, a close friend of hers gave birth to twins, a boy named Rob, a girl named Rebecca. And right away, she noticed a difference between them. She knew what it was. She was thrilled as a scientist because she now saw that one of those two was a highly sensitive child growing up. And grew up in the same exact environment as the other twin, who's not a highly sensitive person. The idea being is that no situation is exactly the same. Obviously, one being a boy, one being a girl, they'll be exposed in different ways. But there was enough of a similarity to see how they thrive in similar environments, even though they're very different from one another. Now, being different genders, Rob and Rebecca were fraternal twins, not identical twins, which means that their genetic makeup is no more similar than those of any brother and sister. So it's not twins in that sense, like identical twins are. But here, what was also very helpful for her when she studied this is that in this case, the gender assumptions were reversed, which means that the highly sensitive person of the two twins was the boy named Rob. He was the sensitive one. Rebecca, the girl, was not the highly sensitive one. So the stereotypes were reversed. Also, he was a smaller in body makeup. He was smaller, more puny. So it's like the reverse of the normal, typical way. So they babysitted sometimes for these infants, Elaine Aaron and her husband. And first thing she noticed in general is that when they were born, right away, the first few days after they were born, she already noticed the difference between the two. Rebecca, the non-HSP, would fall asleep easily, not wake up. However, Rob would, any type of change, he would stay up and cry, which would mean that the mother and father would have to walk or rock or sing or pat him in order to bring him into a peaceful state. When a slightly older sensitive child has trouble sleeping, by the way, for all you parents listening, you know they have that sensitive nature. The ideal way to get them to go to sleep is to put them to bed privately. Now, again, it's hard if you have a bedroom that they share, so it's harder to isolate it that way. But what you try to do is let the quiet and the dark gradually calm the overstimulation, which is the true cause of any type of crying. Very often HSPs, they say the words or feel, "I'm too tired to sleep." What they really mean is they're too frazzled to sleep. They're too overstimulated to sleep. Now, I have this problem, being honestly an HSP myself, is that when I go to weddings with the loud music and everything, and let's say it's a family wedding, and I'm driving back also and everything, I don't get back from the wedding till midnight or even 1 o'clock in the morning. This is what always happens. I didn't understand it myself. I basically said, you know, it's very, very late. You have to get up early in the morning, go straight to sleep. I explained to my wife, I can't go straight to sleep. I have to read, learn a little bit, say a little tillum or read something. I need that for at least 20 minutes or 30 minutes before I could get myself to go to sleep, no matter how tired I am from a long wedding and a long day. But the overstimulation makes it difficult for me to go straight into the sleep mode. I need that calming down of it. So this is similar to what he's saying over here, resonated with what Elaine Aaron says over here, is that sometimes through the day, an HSP could be overstimulated. So what you do is you put them in a quieter room, darker room. You read them a book if they're that age, and then they calm down. So sometimes OSA HSPs, if let's say as a newborn, they'll scream a lot, they need to be soothed. So sometimes you could get an electric swing, whatever it is. Sometimes the movement of it also helps them go to sleep quicker. And then remaining sleep is also a challenge for HSPs because it's very easy with sensitive children have less periods of deep, undisturbed sleep. And once they're awake, they have a hard time going back to sleep. It's a problem. So one solution is to use blankets to cover the crib. So it's like a tent, it's quieter, and that will calm the sensitive person down. Again, just use common sense. Make sure the slats, the oxygen, Chalila of the Chalila, you don't want to do anything that's dangerous in any way, shape, or form. So, don't do anything like that unless you're 1,000,000,000% sure there's no issue with oxygen or the covers coming down or whatever it is. So don't do anything that you think could even have a chashash of being or a risk of any way, shape, or form. But the idea being, though, is that a more closed environment feels safer for a child. So people do this with children anyway when they're in a carriage and they're sleeping. Very often the mothers would like put a little thin blanket over the top of it so it could be darker so that the kid should go to sleep. They do that with any kid, HSP or non-HSP. But for HSPs especially, they need that in order to calm down and go to sleep. So she says an interesting insight. So they used to babysit. So there was a point that they were around, it was 3 years old. They were three. And they had a new brother that was born. So they were in the hospital. So Elaine Aaron says, my husband and I visited for the night and we slept in the bed of their parents. Because their parents were in the hospital. She just gave birth and the husband was there. So we babysat and we slept in the parents' bedroom in their beds. And we were told that Rob, the sensitive child, may wake up and be afraid because of a bad dream. By the way, this is also interesting. The HSP had much more of those frightening dreams than his sister did. Not H-sensitive people seem to have more vivid and frightening dreams than non-HSPs. So in this case, also these two children, Rob had a lot more of these incidents with these scary dreams. So what happened was 5 in the morning, this Rob, she was like 3 years old, wandered in to the bedroom crying softly. She saw that the wrong people were in her parents' bed. So he got excited. Basically, Elaine Aaron's explaining like a danger sign. Mother's gone. Terrible things happen. What's going on? So the idea is also very important. No matter how young your child is, in this case, the child was 3 years old, it gets easier once child understands words, even at that age. In other words, when we call the whatever you call it, when the age two with the temper tantrums and things like that, a lot of the frustration after they're newborn, so then they get certain identity after a couple of months, then they get frustrated because they can't verbalize things. And once they're able to verbalize it, it gets somewhat easier. Even at the age of three, they could say certain words of what they need, their frustration level goes down. So what happened was, is Elaine Aaron, it's not the first time they babysat. So basically, she told this child, Rob, like in a nice, friendly way, do you remember we were just here a week ago and we babysat you? And when we were by supper, we let you have, you and your sister have cookies as appetizer before the dinner. We let you have the nash before you actually had to eat the actual meal. Like, in she said obviously in a way a 3 year old would understand it. He understood it and then he smiled. He smiled. Something clicked in his brain. He looked at her that she was some wicked witch of the West that took over her mother's bed. And now he saw, oh, it was like Aunt Elaine just whatever. So he calmed down. Do you want to come here or do you want to go in your own bed? He chose to go in those men. He went back there, went back to sleep. The morning that Rebecca woke up, parents were gone. She was not affected by it. Oh, hi, Elaine. Hi, her husband, and walked out. This is a classic difference between an HSP and a non-HSP. Exactly demonstrated by three-year-old kids. Rebecca, the non-HSP, saw the parents weren't there, but recognized these two as babysitters from the past. Oh, hi, how are you? Everything's fine. While Rob, the sensitive child, had trouble adapting to that. It was more difficult to do that. So there's no question, as she interviewed and experienced these twins, Rebecca and Rob, that, for example, when they were even 2 years old, they were fascinated. Rebecca was fascinated by the beach, by ocean waves, by merry-go-rounds, and Rob was afraid of them. He had fears of different things. That seemed unrealistic to regular people, but they were real to him. And Rob, his childhood was a little more difficult for him than for his sister. It was difficult, more difficult for his parents. They were stable, competent, good parents, but it was more difficult to interact with their sensitive child than with the non-sensitive child. But what happened, though, is when the home environment is sound, in a way, here, when it's sound, it helps overall. You'll be able to express your feelings and things are better. Now, what happened was, is during the first 4 years of Rob's life, he was very often overwhelmed. He sometimes burst into angry tears. His parents would try to help him with his feelings. And with every month, he seemed to be able to not be less, being better able not to be overwhelmed. Even watching a film that seemed scary or sad, his parents would say, it's just a movie. It'll end okay. And, or he would just close his eyes and cover his ears or leave the room for a little while. Slower in physical activities than the other boys are. The other boys more rougher while they play. He was more cautious, as an example. HSPs seem to be less athletic for that reason, possibly. And they have certain special traits. They have extraordinary imaginations. They're drawn to everything that's artistic, especially music. Music is a special pull towards HSPs. You could have non-HSPs, musicians that are wonderful, but the musicians, a lot of them are HSPs. And that connects very deeply with the music that they play. Listen, I don't know them personally, but these are famous singers. And it's just an educated guess that Shlomo Kalbach was clearly an HSP. Clearly. In the contemporary world, I would say it seems to me that Baruch Levine, A.B. Rottenberg, they're clearly HSPs. Yaakov Shweki is a non-HSP singer. Tremendously talented, powerful, but a non-HSP. So whatever, this is all educated guesses because I don't know them personally, so I could be off target, but just a concept there. They tend also, HSPs, to be concerned about the suffering of others. They're polite, they're kind, they're considerate, except when they're overcome by too much stimulation. When they become overwhelmed by too much stimulation, then they will not act considerate or polite or kind because they're overwhelmed and they will push back. And anyway, one needs to understand that as an HSP and the non-HSPs in their lives. Again, I said this a few times, it's so important for non-HSPs to learn this. And you have a tremendous contribution because when you act like a mensch towards a highly sensitive person, you're actually training them. You're helping them. By being that balanced person and not getting over emotional about things is actually your strength as a non-HSP. That you're able to show a highly sensitive person. I could be caring, I could be loving, but I could be also balanced and protect myself from overwhelmingness. And if you are work on your own character, a non-HSP, first of all, you develop a sensitivity to the level that Hashem wants you to have it. But at the same time, you're able to teach just by simply being there, a sensitive person near you, that they feel loved by you, that they'll learn from you, to learn not to get overwhelmed or get overstimulated, and they'll work on it, and you're a great source of support for them. Just by being who you are and being menschlich and sensitive to them, but at the same time, you're not a HSP, and that's a bracha. It's a bracha to be one, it's a bracha not to be one. There's no right or wrong here. They both have their challenges and their tremendous potential. But sensitivity is a real trait. It's a real trait. It's a different breed. It is a real reality. Scientists seem to have proven this. It seems to be ad kedei kach, by the way, just to explain how these tests were done, that there are infants that are inhibited, which means they have more allergies, insomnia, colicky, constipation, more than an average child, and their heartbeats are usually higher, and heart rates, meaning, and under stress, the pupils dilate sooner, the vocal cords become more tense, and the voice changes. Many HSPs are relieved to know that their voices can become somewhat sound when they are overstimulated. That happens. Their body fluids, whether it's blood, whether it's urine, whether it's saliva, of sensitive children show indications in them when it's tested of higher levels of I don't know how to pronounce the word exactly, norepinephrine in their brains, which is associated, that type of chemical associated with arousal. It's the brain's version of adrenaline, basically. Also, sensitive children's body fluids contain more cortisol, both when under stress and when at home. Cortisol is the hormone present, also one of those hormones that are present when there is one or more constant states of arousal or weariness. So cortisol, we're going to talk about later, is an important nakuda here. So he found that 20% of all babies are highly reactive when exposed to various stimuli, and many of them become inhibited, meaning they show a higher level of fear in new situations, as an example. And some show lower levels of that. So that is just an interesting study. We're not going to get too deep into that because the purpose of this is not meant to be a scientific study, but more like an understanding. Just wanted to give the general background. So I am going to skip a lot of the aspects in this chapter, digging deeper, that goes into these scientific research aspects of it. But just to be mekatzer, just to say as a general thing, what's very important to know is indeed that there is medical differences, actual proven medical differences between them. And in psychology, too, there was a recognition that you're very different when you have a highly sensitive nature and your body reacts differently. And the problem is, remember, the highly sensitive people have an extra challenge because there's a cultural bias against them. Cultural bias, okay, now the woke way went overboard the other way, but generally speaking, prefers toughness and... it's something that's not revered, not respected in the world overall. We'll continue Bezes Hashem, but that's all we're going to talk about in this chapter 2, digging deeper, of Elaine Aaron. I skipped a lot of the technical aspects of the research, but the general framework is important for parents to know as they see their children growing up or the people that they encounter in their lives that would make... have a higher understanding of what HSPs are about and how to learn from them and how they can learn from you. Bracha v'hatzlacha.